Permet via, permet mister, I think from hell, it's the old end. Higher plane, then I am bound. Lord, grant my feet on higher ground. I want to stay.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
What a great day it is to be serving the Lord. And just before we get started in our study today of Ephesians chapter 4, I'd like to read a couple of verses to you. In fact, I'm going to read four verses from the book of Psalms. In Psalm 18 and verse 2, it says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." In Psalm 18:39, it says, "For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle." This is speaking of the Lord now that's doing this for this person. And I trust he's doing that for you today. "For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me." Psalm 28:7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him." Psalm 62:7 says, "In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God." I believe if I could sum this up, I could say these verses that I read says that God is all in all, that God is all we need. God is the one who takes care of us. That is, those of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And you know, many unsaved people really don't realize that God takes care of them. I remember so many times that just, you know, before I got saved, how that many times I should have been killed or something bad could have happened to me. But I look back now and say, thank God for his mercy. Thank God that he took care of me then. And especially now, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, and I can claim the verses that I just read, Psalm 18:2, Psalm 18:39, Psalm 28:7, and Psalm 62:7. There are many other verses that give me encouragement today, knowing that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and that God is on my side, and that he is guiding me, he's taking care of me, and one of these days, I'll be able to thank him personally. And you know, he is my heavenly Father, and I can go to him anytime I want to and share my needs with him, and I can share the things that are good in my life, and there are so many. I can tell him about the things that he has done for me. And if you think of this, I want to brag on God. That's what I'm doing. I'm going to him, and I'm telling him that I love him. And you know, there's nothing wrong with bragging about God to other individuals, of telling people how good God is to you and that what he's done for you in this life, and especially the life to come. There's only better things waiting for us as we leave this world. And we've been talking about, I mentioned the tribulation period in the last session that we had together. How that he not only watches out for us, we're going to be gone when the tribulation starts. He's taking us out of here. That's his people, those people who have trusted him as Savior. We're going to be with the Lord. We're not going to go through that tribulation. Hey, you may think it's bad now, but it's going to be a lot worse during the tribulation. Well, that's another study in itself. And this is something that we can look at and read and study in the Word of God. Once again, in Ephesians chapter 4, our study has taken us to verse 11. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Well, we did talk about people being saved in the tribulation that will come upon this earth. You and I, as saved people, will be gone. We'll be caught up in the rapture of the church. Thank God we won't be here. But will there be people saved during the tribulation period? And we talked about this. And it's in Revelation chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they?" Now this is the elder asking John this question. And what does John say? "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he," that's the elder, "said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." The salvation, and that's heaven, comes to a person only one way. And that's through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and of the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." The people in the tribulation period will be saved the same way that anyone else has ever been saved. And that's by trusting Jesus Christ. That's by going God's way. You know, before Jesus came to this earth, born of a virgin, the Bible tells us that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. We believe God. We believe what he has to say about Jesus Christ today, and we trust him as our Savior. And that's how we get saved, is trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's how anyone ever gets saved, is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says this, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." It's good to have family. It's good to listen to certain things that the family says. But when it comes to salvation, if they tell you any other way to heaven other than through Jesus Christ, then they're wrong. And you need to listen to God. We listen to God in order to go to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, we looked last time and we saw some, something about pastors. And once again, I believe pastors will be gone. The church will be caught up together with the Lord in the clouds in the rapture of the church. And I believe, once again, the church age will end. And I do not believe there will be a pastor in the sense that we know the pastor today. That will change. But there will still be evangelists in the sense that everyone who knows Jesus Christ, they will be evangelized. They will tell other people about him, about the Messiah. And then we also saw how that there will be an angel who preaches the everlasting gospel throughout the world just before the tribulation ends. So no one will have an excuse as to, they will not be able to say, "I did not know the truth. I did not know about Jesus Christ," because that angel is going to preach as well. Now notice this. It talks about pastors, and then chapter 4 and verse 11 of Ephesians talks about teachers. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. "For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ." In other words, Paul had a good testimony. This is Paul writing and telling the church there. He's telling them to remember, into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ. He did what Christ wanted him to do. He lived for the Lord. He had a good testimony. And it goes on to say, "as I teach everywhere in every church." He's telling them that Timothy is there, and he's there under his authority, and that he is going to tell them the truth, just as Paul had told these people the truth, so will he tell them. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus." Now, Paul the Apostle is talking to Timothy here. He said, "When I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine." We'll see more about that in just a moment. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. "A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach." Well, I see many sections of scriptures that talk about teachers. And when I see the word teacher, I see in that last verse we looked at there, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, it's speaking about the pastor. Not only is the pastor to be able to exhort, rebuke, and and to preach the Word of God. But that pastor is also to be able to teach. And that is one of the qualifications of a pastor, I believe, to be able to teach. And that's it says they're apt to teach in the last part of 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. So we see that pastors are not only pastors in that sense of watching over the flock and whatever the qualifications are that's mentioned in the Word of God, but they're also to be able to teach the Word of God. But notice, the Bible also, as we've read, not only talks about pastors teaching, but it's talking about other individuals within the local church who are to be teachers. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, "These things command and teach." The Word of God is quick and powerful, and the pastor is to be able to teach, and the pastor is to be able to command certain things. That doesn't mean he's a tyrant, but he is command. In other words, he gives forth the Word of God, God's command. And as we think of teachers within the local church, you know, I've come across some individuals who do not believe that there should be a Sunday school with teachers. And they will use the excuse, well, it's not found in the Word of God. Well, I beg to differ with them, because the Bible teaches us that not only is the pastor to teach, but there are individuals who are to teach the Word of God. In fact, you know, we're all teachers in the sense when we give out the Word of God. But in specifically, I believe there is a gift of teaching people within the local church are placed there to be able to teach. Sunday school, junior church, children's church, whatever is necessary within that local church. God calls people. He gives them a gift to be able to teach. And let me stray just a moment, if I might, about teachers. Let me stray with this thought. I believe just as God has placed teachers within the local church, I believe this is one of the reasons that our schools are having problems even this day, and it's been happening for years. I believe there are people who call themselves teachers within a local school who have really never been called to be teachers. I believe that these teachers need to be called in order to teach the things that God wants them to teach. And once again, he wants everybody to be able to read, write, and do numbers, read, write, and arithmetic. And that is the basics. We teach a person to read, and this, as we teach that person to read, then they can do other things. They can know things. They can study things. And especially, they can get into the Word of God, and they can read it for themselves. But I believe that these teachers are to be called, even within a school, they're to be called. And this is something that teachers are not teaching what they're supposed to be teaching today. And I think you know what I'm speaking of. Teachers need to be doing what they're supposed to do, and that is to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic. Everything else is secondary, third-ary, fourth-ary, fifth-ary, whatever you want to call it. That is to take the back seat to reading, writing, arithmetic. Once they learn to read, and of course, the Bible should be number one. The Bible should be there being taught in public schools. And we see that in Christian schools, but it needs to be in public schools as well. Well, God loves you today. And we started out, and I read some verses to you that tells you that God's in charge and he's going to take care of you. It makes no difference how bad we think it is. God says, I'm here and I'm watching out for you. And the Bible teaches us that he takes care of the flowers, that we have nothing to do with, the flowers of the field. He watches over the sparrow and he watches over us. God loves you today. Serve him.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.